If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at the first part of the chapter. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited to me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed the evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you and we thank you for the reading of your word. God, we ask you, Lord, this evening that you'd touch us, God, as only you can. Give us that, oh God, that you'd have us to have, and help us receive with thanksgiving the precious oracles of God that speak to our heart and give us the direction that we need to go. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll take this truth, this precious Word of God, but as absolute truth, absolutely. And God, we'll allow it to absorb into our hearts, purify and saturate our minds. Oh God, and make it your abode, Lord, in the depths of our being. Oh God, that we might be found worthy to serve you and give you praise and honor and glory because of that you've already done for us. And we pray, Lord, we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. We trust you, God, to do that for us that we so desperately need today. Lead, guide, and direct us in the way you'd have us to go. Touch our hearts and our minds. Give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech. God, I pray that you'd help us not to say anything that hurt one of these you died for. And Lord, we'll just love you, God, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' blessed name for all that you do. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach something tonight on this thought, on this line. When the truth hurts. Amen? When the truth hurts. As we see this in the Word of God here, we see Jesus and he's talking to these fellas and the scribes and the Pharisees come to him. Now these were the so-called religious folk. And they come to him and they question him and they said they transgressed the traditions of the elders. He said, your disciples is not following tradition. Amen? He said, you might say, they're not getting with the program. Now, they're trying to create their own program. But Jesus answers them, and he says this in verse 3, he said, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Amen? I thought he was pretty good, because every time they'd ask him a question, he'd answer them with another question. Because they couldn't answer his question. They never could. Amen. And so we see what he does here. He answers the question. And when the truth hurts, amen, it pricked them to the quick. It got them right down where they live because he said, you know what? This is what God said, but you've made your traditions ahead, put your traditions ahead of what God says. We got to be real careful on this because the Word of God, it becomes ineffective when we try to indoctrinate, we try to bring our Christian philosophies and we try to dictate the Word of God in it to where it fits our lives. Our lives should never, we should never take the Word of God and try to fit it into our life. We should try to take our life and fit it into the Word of God. Amen. That's the difference between what he was saying and what they was doing. Amen. So we see the Christians in the life that we have, these Christian scholars, when they begin to insist on tradition, they begin to instruct in tradition instead of the Word of God. Amen. We're seeing that in a big way in the day and hour we live, Brother David. We're seeing a whole lot of religions that's caught up in a lot of traditions. And they say, well, we've always done it this way. This is the way we do it. Amen. Even though it doesn't line up with what God says. Amen. We're supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Magnifying His name, looking for Him. So it's not through some scholarly education, praise God, that'll draw us to a place that we need to do. If we ain't careful, all that'll make the Word of God void. Amen. They told Paul one time, said, much learning's made you mad. Amen. But he was learning the right stuff. He was learning the Word of God. He was learning the right ways to minister that Word. See, he had got started on the wrong track. But the Lord Jesus Christ brought him back. Amen. Shined the light on him, if you will. Let him see the light. Amen. Praise God. And he began to see, praise God, even in his darkness, the God of glory. Amen. He began to see what God would have for him. Amen. We see that taking place over here in the book of Mark, chapter 7. If you want to turn to Mark, chapter 7, he says, Mark tells us in chapter 7, in verse 9, he said, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die death. That's what Jesus had told them here in Matthew. But listen to what they said in this one. He said, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. You know what? You know what he's saying there? He said, by your tradition, you're saying, you know what? I gave down at the church, Mom. I gave down there at the church, Dad, so I don't have to take any more responsibility for you. Tradition says, you see how wrong it could be? You see how wrong tradition could be? Amen. But the Lord's down here, he said, you know what? There's a tradition and then there's truth. And the truth is what we need. Amen. He said, if scholars and wise men try to tell us what we knew and how to act and how to react, Paul said, you know what? They just called me to preach the gospel. So that's what the Lord called me. He called me to preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he speaks of that. And he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Amen. He said it wasn't because of wisdom. He said it wasn't about a baptizing. It wasn't about the things that I do. But he said it's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said if anything else, he said we're missing the mark. He said it's just a tradition. Amen. Now they didn't like hearing this because that's how they based their religion, is on their tradition. And the truth was a hurting. The truth was a hitting them in the quick. Amen. Hitting them right where they live. But the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say as much in Matthew chapter 15. They come to Jesus in verse 12, and then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? They said, don't you realize that you offended them religious people? But notice what Jesus was unconcerned. Amen. He didn't. I'm not saying unconcerned in a negative way, but he wasn't going to let that dissuade him from telling them the truth. The truth may hurt, but praise God, that's where they was at. We're living in day and hour. We're afraid to tell people the truth, even when they're living in their sin. Amen. We got to get past that and say, you know what? This is what thus said the Word of God. This is what God says is right. Amen. No matter how they're living, where they're living, what they're doing, amen, we need to learn to tell them right. How else are they going to know? Amen. If we fail to tell them the truth, even though the truth may hurt, we're not doing them any favors. Amen. We'll take children, we'll take young people, and we'll say, and we'll coddle them, and we'll pet them when they're doing wrong, amen, instead of saying, you know what, what you're doing is wrong. Amen. You're hurting your mama, you're hurting your daddy, you're hurting your siblings, you're hurting your family, you're hurting your community. But we're afraid of we're afraid to hurt their feelings. Amen. Sometimes the truth hurts. But it takes the truth of hurting, praise God, before it can begin to do the helping. Amen. The truth, did you hear what I said? Sometimes the truth has to hurt before it can help. When you was an old lost sinner, amen, and God came to where you was and said, you know what? You're lost. You're no wicked sinner. Amen. It broke my heart. Nobody wants to think of himself as an old wicked sinner. But praise God, I was one. And it broke my heart, praise God. But it broke my heart to a point where I'd fall on my face and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Amen. The truth hurt, but it had an effect. Amen. What the Lord's trying to teach them here is that the truth may hurt, but it has an effect. Amen. And it's never wrong to do right. It's never wrong to tell the truth. If you tell the truth, you don't have to keep up with the lies. Amen. It's a whole lot easier to just tell the truth. What really happened, how it really is, and try to keep up with the lies. It gets out of hand. And it don't take it long either, because your mind's like mine. Amen. You may have a few white spots too. So if you're going to, amen, so we better just tell the truth while we can, amen, even though truth may hurt. He wasn't offended. He said, I'm not it don't bother me that they're offended. He said, hey, listen. He goes on. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Amen. He said, it's cumbering the ground. Needs to be stirred up, needs to be moved, got rid of, got that moved out of the way. Amen. He said, let them alone. Amen. He said, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Amen. He said, just leave them alone. They're blind, they choose to be blind. See the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they went into this thing with their eyes wide open. Amen. They knew exactly what God's word said. They studied it, they knew it, but they chose to be blind to it because of their traditions. And the Lord says, you know what? He told them, he said, you know what? The truth's going to hurt them. It's going to get them to the quick, but praise God, in the long run, it'll help them. He said, just lead them along, praise God, and let them be blind until they can find their sight. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little encouragement, praise God. The truth hurts, but in the end, the effect, it has to hurt before it can help. Amen. The Word of God, the Bible says it's quick and powerful. Ain't that what it says in Hebrews chapter 4? Quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, right down to where we live, and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I mean, not only the thoughts, but the intents of our heart. What we intend to do with that we're thinking about. Amen? The truth, what we need to think about. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So He says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It divides, amen, and the truth may hurt us, but in the long run, it'll help us because it'll point out, it'll divide out the good from the bad. Amen. If there's ever been a day and hour that we need to divide out the good from the bad, it's the day and hour that we live. Youngins, amen, we need the truth like we've never needed the truth before. Amen, we need to hear the truth, we need to tell the truth, we need to live the truth, because that's the only thing some people's going to see. Amen, we need to be a living example of the truth. Amen, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets or false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, a bunch of junk, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon them themselves swift destruction. God won't put up with that mess. He'll get rid of it. He'll take it out of the way. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What are we hearing today? People, we got whole congregations, people, whole bodies of people that say, you know what? We don't want nothing to do with God. We don't want to hear what God has said. We don't want the Word of God. And we surely don't want the will of God. Amen? Because they got their own pernicious ways. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Amen? Amen? And they're active. I won't say the forces of evil are active today. I mean, they ain't waiting on nobody. We're waiting around for an opportunity. But the forces of evil don't wait around for an opportunity. They're always prowling, seeking to devour that they may. He said, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Amen. You talk about your world coming down in a hurry. That's what happened when the flood come. 120 years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The will and the way of God. Amen. They rejected him. They rejected his preaching. They rejected the man. They rejected the man's God. But when the floods come, when the water started falling, they started changing their mind, but it's too late. It was too late. I'm afraid it's going to happen in the world we live in today. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Amen? And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Amen? The wickedness that they did. But look what he says in verse 9. Did the Lord know how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But we get caught up and we think, well, you know what? We're bigger than God. Amen? We know more. We're so smart. I believe we've come to a point that we're so smart that we're too smart for ourselves. The old saying, we're too big for our britches. When we get to think and praise God that God don't need to be in control of this thing. God needs to be leading us and guiding us and helping us in the way that we need to go. That He might get all the glory out of it. Amen? But praise God, I won't say the truth hurts. And we don't want the truth a whole lot of times. We want something else. We don't want the truth because the truth offends. Amen? The truth offends. But I want to tell you tonight, I want to give you about three people right quick that the truth offends. It's three categories of people that the truth offends. Number one's the heretics. Amen? A wicked heretic is offended at the Word of God. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. Go back to verse 1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Talking about, now watch this. He said, and powers to obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now this is what we should be. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That sound familiar? Sounds like who we used to be? I hope he's none of us like that now. I hope Jesus moved in and changed your life. I mean, I hope none of these traits fixes. If we do, there's an altar up here tonight. We can make it better. Amen. He said, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, things was different. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He saved us. He regenerated us. He saved us and renewed us by the Holy Spirit of God, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace. Now watch this. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Remember I told you this is our maintenance program. Amen. I preached this several years ago about our maintenance program. We need to have a daily maintenance program for our soul. Amen. We need to check up. Amen. We don't want God to check us up. We don't man to check us up. We need to check up ourselves to see where we're at. So he gives us the true gospel in 5-8. Amen. And then he says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Amen. That's what heretics do. They disallow the very word of God. They say that they believe it. They say that they proclaim it, but they don't live it. He said, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Now what he's talking about, after you've rebuked him, after you've tried to point him in the right direction twice, amen, a couple of times, he said, then you've got to just reject him as a born-again child of God because he's not receiving the word. I believe there's some heretics in the world, praise God, because they say that they believe, but they reject the very word of God. Amen. Hey, I don't want to reject the word. I want to ingest the word, that it becomes a part of who I am. He goes on and says in verse 11, that he, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. In other words, he's undermining. He's undermining the very authority and the power of the Word of God. And there's a lot of heretics in the world that's doing that. And they're blading about it. Amen? They're saying, well, this is what God says. You've heard this. This is why I know that God says this, but. You ever hear that? Well, I know what God says. I know what the Word says, but. Hey, listen, it's God's Word and there's no buts unless He says them. Amen? But when he gives us those buds, praise God, it's for our good. This is what you were, but I'm going to help you to be this over here. I'm going to change you. So we see that the truth hurts, and it hurts heretics. Those that claim to be something that they're not. Amen. And after they've reproved, the sad thing is a lot of people don't understand clearly. Hey, something, Brother X, I'll be honest, I don't understand. There's a whole lot of this book I don't understand clearly. Amen. There's a whole lot of it that none of us understand clearly. But when there's a clear teaching and you've subverted it, you've turned it around, you've disallowed its authority, amen, and somebody come alongside you, maybe a couple of three somebody, and said, you know, hey, this is what it's talking about, but you continue to reject it even after you know, that's a heretic. Amen. What we don't want to be caught up is being a heretic, because the truth hurts, and they don't want to admit that they've been caught up in untruth. Amen? So the heretics in the world, there's a lot of them. You see them all the time. You hear them out here in the world all the time. They'll say, yeah, I know what God says, but. And they live like a devil. They drink their liquor, they take their dope, and do their sexual sins and shack up and everything else, but they say everything's okay. See, I know God says, but. Well, no, they're a heretic. They just don't believe what God says. Amen? So we see the heretics. And then there's the hypocrites. Those hypocrites that just don't want to be caught up in this. We read this in your hearing a minute ago when he was talking about in 2 Peter, where Peter was talking about this, and he was laying it out for us in his Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 through verses 1 through 3, he said they're damnable heresies. He said there are false prophets also among people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. Now, why would they sneak it in? Amen? Because they're hypocrites. They know what the truth is, but they're no better than the heretic. They try to sneak it in on us. That's like these new versions of the Bible. Amen? They're lies. They're wrong. But they try to sneak them in. You can't even buy no good gospel literature no more. You go to a King James Bible only store, and praise God, if you ain't careful, they'll sneak it in on you. They'll have the NIV or the NASB or the Message or the Good News for Modern Man or something in there quoting it. Why? What they're doing? They're false teachers. They're trying to sneak in damnable heresies. Amen. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So they're not only heretics, but there's also a lot of hypocrites. Amen. There's a lot of hypocrites in the world. There's a lot of hypocrites. There's hypocrites sitting in our Baptist churches. We'll get up on Sunday morning. A whole lot of folks get up on Sunday morning. They'll go down to the house of God because they're supposed to. Amen. Not because they want to. They go down there because they're supposed to. And they get down there at the house of God, and then they go through a form of religion. Amen. They try to be real spiritual, but they're denying the power thereof. And they're just hypocrites. And they'll live a life at home totally different from what you see down at the church. I had a fella tell me one time years ago, he said, a boy come to work for me, and another fella told him they went to church together. And he said, now you're going to go to work down there at the shop at Silver Line in the morning. Hey man, now you're going to see a different person down there than you do here. Talking about the house of God. Just blatant. You know what that is? That's a hypocrite. Amen. Set there holy as thou, amen. Set in the Sunday school class and do all he does. Bow his head, do like he's praying and all this good stuff. And then praise God, get down on Monday morning and live like the devil. That's a hypocrite. And Jesus was teaching them here. He said, there's not only the heretic, but he said, there's the hypocrite. There's the one that says, you know, well, we got to keep these traditions. He said, we got to watch what we eat. We can't eat with our hands dirty. Amen. But he said, they're concerned about what they put into their body. But he said, they don't care what comes out. Amen. Hello? The truth hurts. But amen. But he said the heretics and the hypocrites, praise God. He said they wash their hands. They pretend a pretense of being clean on the outside when the inside's as dirty as hell itself. Amen. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's contaminated. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Now he says this about a believer or a non-believer, whichever the case may be. Now, I know the truth hurts, but it has to hurt to help. He says in Matthew 12 and 33, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. This is pretty cut and dry here. He said, if you're a good tree, put forth good fruit. He said, if you're a bad tree, put forth bad fruit. But don't try to be a bad tree and put forth good fruit. He said, it just don't work. You just make the whole tree look bad. Amen? He said, that don't work. He says, old generation of vipers. Now, he's talking to that religious bunch again. Amen? Those holier than thous, you know, caught up in their traditions. This is the way we do it. I want to say, there's some ways that we do things at our house, and it may be the same way that things was done at our house when we was kids. But that don't necessarily make it right. Amen? We need to seek the Lord with all our heart. He said, oh, generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Hello? For out of the abundance, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now let me just ask you a question. When you're When we're at church, we're going to be on our best behavior, aren't we? I mean, we won't be found well pleasing to the Lord, I hope. Amen. You won't be found well pleasing to the pastor. Amen. You want me to think good about you. Amen. Don't matter what I think, it's what matters before what God thinks. But we want to be found in good favor, amen, before our peers, amen, the laity of the church, the brothers and sisters in here. So if we ain't careful, we'll put on a good show. But what happens when we get down at our house? Amen. When the pastor's not looking, and when the laity, our brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't looking, what do we do and say there? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. Now, I know the truth hurts, but that's where the rubber meets the road. He said, if you're going to be a good tree at the house of God, be a good tree down at your house. Amen. He said, if you're a bad tree, praise God, just be a bad tree at the house of God, and God can give you some help. He'll bring you out of that. He'll dung you, praise God. He'll put good things around you to make you fruitful. Amen. I told you, the truth has to hurt before it can help. But how do we act at home? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I've been telling you for months, we need to be living Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, which good, but that which is good for the use of edifying, may minister grace to the hearers. Amen. We need to be living that at home. I told you, I've tried to make that the rule of my life. At home and abroad and everywhere I go. Amen. To try to be an encouragement. And I challenge anyway, if you catch me not, praise God, let me know. And me and you will pray together and I'll repent. Amen. We need to be trying to be an encouragement. But how are we at the house? Amen. He said, from the abundance of your heart, do you scream and holler and pitch a fit at your house? Huh? If we're still screaming, hollering, pitch a fit, then we need some help. And we need to ask God to help us with that, to get us out of that mess, to put us in a different plane, a different playing field. To take us away from that and help us. Amen. If not, we're just hypocrites. Amen. Now, I know this ain't no shouting message. Praise God, it is if you ain't. Amen. Praise God. It is if you ain't. But if we say that we love the Lord, and we say that we love each other, and we say that we love our family, praise God, we ought to be loving them here, and we ought to be loving them there. And if there's something between us, something that's out of whack, praise God, we ought to be making it right. Either a good tree or a bad tree. Amen? If we're a good tree, praise God, just keep getting better, more fruitful. But if we're a bad tree, just admit the badness of our tree, praise God, and get help. Amen? Praise God. Why? Because the Bible says if we don't, we grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Ain't that what it says? Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, just turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll turn, you don't have to. Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which you used to get good use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, it'll uplift and encourage. Are we doing and saying things at the church that's uplifting and encouraging? Are we doing things at the house that's uplifting and encouraging? Amen? You say, well, I'm trying to do my best at the church. But I don't do so good at the house. Well, don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Come before God. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, if you're not doing this, he said, you're grieving the Holy Ghost because God, the Holy Ghost of God wants to help us to do right. Amen. He said, if we're not letting the Holy Ghost do it, said, well, then we're a hypocrite. We're saying we've got something that we don't have. Amen. And he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he's saying all these things, the hollering, the screaming, the fussing, the fighting, needs to be gone like we hate it. And we should. I don't know anybody that likes to fight. Hello? You hear what I said? I don't know anybody. Well, I take it back. I do know a couple, two or three people that like to fight. Amen. They like to fuss and argue and carry on. Amen. It's just part of who they were. That's the way they were raised. But it shouldn't be that way. Amen. God said He would help them if we let Him. He said, let no corrupt, let all bitterness, wrath, put away from, get rid of it, chunk it. Verse 32, it says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen? You said, well, they messed up. They hurt my feelings. So what? You have too. How many times did you mess up and God's forgiven you? He don't keep holding that on account. Amen? When you say, I'm sorry, He says, okay, forgiven. Amen? But we can't be a hypocrite about this. We need to get in line with this, amen. We don't want to be a heretic. We don't want to be a hypocrite. We want to allow God to help us as God wants to help us. Amen. So that we can come to the house of God and shout the victory. You know why most of us can't worship? Because we've had a cuss fight and a falling out down at the house before we ever get here. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. Done had a fit, done had an argument with the children, done had an argument with the spouse or something before you ever get to the house of God, and ain't no way in the world you worship over that. Amen? Amen. But we need to quit being a hypocrite. If we've got a problem, amen, what we're doing is grabbing by the hand, coming, door, come to altar, and say, Lord, help us get past this so we can worship you. Amen. Hey, get rid of all that, chunk it. Amen. You know what? I believe if we start hitting the altar and said, God, forgive me an old sinner. I believe the Lord has started working on us, praise God, in such a way that that just starts phasing out. It just starts fading away because that good fruit would be being produced. Amen? So we need to decide whether we want to be a good fruit or a bad fruit. Amen? Most of us are just fruits. But God wants to help us. Amen? I know the truth hurts, but praise God, it'll help us. It has to hurt to help. Has to show us where we're at so it can take us where we need to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, be you kind one to another. Amen. Tenderhearted. You know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes we can be tenderhearted to everybody around us but our own family. Our own family will give more grief than we do anybody else. But we'll be tenderhearted. We'll be compassionate to everybody else that we're around, that we work with and everything else all day long. Why is that? And then we wonder why we can't win them to the Lord. Well, they know how you are. They know how we are. Amen? But He said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Taking your old sorry sinfulness, amen, casting fear forgetfulness, not to be remembered. Don't bring it up, even though it could. But He don't. He chooses not to bring it up. Amen? He puts that away. Praise the Lord. The truth hurts, but this will help us. Amen? When we get where we need to be for the glory of God. So we have that old heretic, a wicked heretic, that knows what's right and chooses to do wrong. And we have the hypocrite who thinks he's right, but he don't do right. And then we got that person that's hypersensitive. Did you never know a person that was hypersensitive? Huh? Did you ever know somebody like that? They just take everything and they analyze it in a negative way. And they always think that everybody's talking about them. Huh? They take a little something and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger till they blow it all out of proportion. Amen? And it gets plumb out of hand. He says in John, 1 John chapter 4, he talks about this. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He said, we need to try the spirit. Amen? We need to try that spirit. That spirit that's trying to tell us this and that and the other. I mean, these people, it's hypersensitive. The spirit's always... I had a lady one time, honest to goodness. She called me up and she badgered me. And she kept telling me that she was talking to God. And God was telling her to do all these negative things and hurtful things and ungodly things. I told her, I said, ma'am, I finally stopped her. I said, I don't know what God you're talking to, but it's not the God I'm a serving. The God I'm serving ain't a negative God like that. The God I'm serving is a positive God, a helpful God, a God that blesses and encourages and uplifts. Amen. My God ain't a vengeful God. Amen. He don't teach vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, to those that's disobedient and rebellious to God. Amen. But He's a God that encourages us and loves us and helps us. And I told her, I said, you're listening to some strange God. I don't know Him. I said, I've never met that God, and I don't want to. But what's happening, they believe every spirit. They believe these false spirits. They believe this false unction that's speaking to them. And they take it for doctrine. They take it for the Word of God. He said, because this many false prophets are gone out into the world. He said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Amen. Now when you get linked up with that spirit, now that spirit's going to be bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ and His virgin birth and His life and His virtue and the way that He lived and the way that He loved and the compassion that He had. Amen. Now when you get hooked up with a spirit like that, you know you got the real thing. But these people that's hypersensitive going around and they're trying all these different spirits. I know He says try the Spirit, amen, but we need to try it, praise God, according to godliness. Amen. But there's a lot of people that's trying the Spirit, but they're trying it compared it to worldliness. Amen. And what it does, it just keeps getting them more and more discouraged. And they become more and more regressed from everything around them. And they become like hermits. And they don't want to be a part of that because they think the whole world's out to get them. Everybody's a talking about me. Amen. And they're so hypersensitive, they're so caught up in this that they can't even understand and recognize the truth when the truth's trying to encourage them and help them. Amen? And they just keep getting so dissuaded, so discouraged in their lives. But he said, in every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? He said, we've got to just let that force that's in us, amen, get rid of the hypocrisy and the hereticism in us and the hypersensitiveness in us and just get with the Word of God and the will of God and the way of God and allow the Spirit of God to move in us and show us where we need to be. The truth hurts, but praise God, when it's all said and done, it'll help you. The truth will make you free. And when you're free in the Lord, then you're free indeed. Amen. Bless His holy name. He said, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Amen. That's what that hypersensitivity does. Amen. They don't hear the truth from God. They just hear what they want to hear. Amen? It amazes me how people are. You can take, and I've told you a story. My mother said, well, a lady come in there one time, and she took a lady and told her something, and it went all the way through. And by the end of the day, she said, I just want to see what they're saying. And she started it, and it went all the way through the plant, and by the end of the day, when it got back to her, it wasn't nothing that she had said. Amen? Everybody had added to it, you know, to make it theirs. And that's what we do, amen. But the truth is what's the most important. And the Spirit of truth, amen, that lives in us. He said, hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So there's two different spirits. There's a spirit that'll lead you away, and there's a spirit that'll bring you closer. Amen. And the truth hurts, but praise God, when we figure out the truth, we realize that the truth is the most important part. Amen. He talks about that. The Lord speaks of that here. He said these hypocrites, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they're just hypocrites. He said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amen. He said it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but he said that's what comes out that defiles a man. Amen. The truth hurts, but But praise God, when we receive it as the Word of God, it'll help us. It'll help us to draw closer. It'll help us get up close to where we need to be. And it'll help our hearts, our homes, our church, our community, the people we work with, the people that's around us, so we can all shout the praises of God together. Amen. Because listen, the last time I heard, we're all going the same direction. Amen. We're in this together till the end of the way. Amen. And we got to allow the Lord to help us to get there. Amen. He said, fellas, you don't understand. He said, these fellas are so messed up. He said, they're blind and they're leading the blind. If you ain't careful, you'll hook up with somebody that'll drag you in the ditch. Amen. But praise God, I want to hook up somebody that can move me up higher. Move me up a little bit closer to my Lord. So one day in a little while, praise God, me and him can have a relationship together forever, magnifying his blessed name in the portals of glory. That's where I look at. The truth hurts now. But praise God, when that truth gets down in the depths of your heart and you ask God to forgive you, ask God to help you, cry out, spare not, amen. Ask God to move upon your life, to give you what you need. See, it's easy to pray for somebody else. Like I told you, when the Lord was putting on my heart to preach, I prayed for my brother. My goodness, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Lord, help him. I told him he ought to be the best preacher in the country. I prayed for him 3 or 4 times a day. Amen. It's easy to pray for somebody else and pray, oh Lord, I see what they need. But sometimes it's hard to see our own need. Amen. To see the truth in ourselves, to see the truth that'll set us free, to get us in a different place, in a different aspect of life, where we can have that joy that we're looking for. Amen. That's what God's got for us. He's got joy, and He wants us to have His joy. Amen. And we get it whenever that truth is ground into us. It's worked down into us. It's massaged into us. And we come out, praise God, clean. Amen. Accepting the truth, believing the truth, and then we begin to produce those good fruits. Praise God. That honor, give God honors and glory. Amen.